My name is Jose Bali, and this is The End Zone. Today we'll be talking about injuries, personal struggles, and mentors we look up to. Today we have offensive lineman for Valley Community College, Gabriel Lopez. He played 4 years for Birmingham High School, acquired 75 pancakes, 6 sacks, and also won a few Mr. Nasties. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Pretty good. So can you explain a little bit about what are pancakes?
Pancakes are pretty much when you pretty much drive the guy back to the point where he's no longer on the ground, and you just pretty much just drop him on his back.
Would this be D-lineman, linebacker?
I mean, D-lineman could also do it too, but it's usually more of an offensive thing. Mm. Yeah.
Usually when you get pancakes, it's usually on the D-line from the offensive perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm guessing coaches want that.
Coaches really want that.
And can you explain what is Mr. Nasty? I'm guessing that's only for Birmingham. Or
yeah.
Explain that.
Well, my old coach, he called him Mr. Nasty because if you got the most pancakes, the more savage you were on the field, the better your scores would be on a Saturday morning during film. So the more points you had, you were officially Mr. Nasty.
And that would be which coach?
Coach Vito. Yeah.
For Birmingham.
Birmingham.
And when I was looking up some of your research, I looked up that you played at Birmingham for all 4 years. And I've been looking at other players, and I've seen that a lot of you guys, you know, you stick to one school and you commit to all 4 years. Can you explain why is that?
It's pretty much the brotherhood, you know. There's a lot of people you meet, and there's a lot of people you lose. But the people you meet, it's all brotherhood and family. You never want to get rid of them unless they push themselves out of the way from you. You know, it's just basically family.
So that was the reason you stayed all 4 years at Birmingham?
That's the reason why I stayed.
No, not the coaches? The coaches?
Not really the coaches. The coaches, they did help a lot with the family portion of it and the coaching aspect. But it was mostly the players that I followed. Most of them were the seniors when I was freshman. And now it's just like, you know, I have full contact with everybody, you know.
And because I know a lot of players look at their coaches, you know, as father figures, you know, someone they look up to. Was that into play with you or not really?
I mean, it's sort of a 50-50 thing. I mean, it's kind of like a father-son thing, you know? Like, you always want to argue with your dad, and then your dad, like, argues back, and he knows he's right about something, but you're the son that always wants to prove him wrong, you know? And that was just basically my situation in high school. You know, I had coaches that always wanted to push me and push me to strive better, and, you know, I was always there sometimes my freshman year, just like, nah, I'm just going to slack off. But I always came back up, did better.
Well, a lot of players don't understand because different players learn different ways. Sometimes coaches try to push players to make them perform better, but some players, you know, don't really acknowledge that and take it as, oh, the coach is being extra only on me.
Yeah.
So you would say that came into play?
Yeah, definitely.
And right now you're playing for Valley College.
Yeah.
How was the transition from, you know, playing high school ball, going to college?
It was a little difficult, you know. The practice is obviously more intense than high school, and you just learn. You start to get introduced to new players that you've never known before, players you've played against in high school, your rivals, and you know somehow, you know, it's weird how it happens. You know, you just form a brotherhood, like I said earlier. It's just weird, and then practice, it's always going to be difficult no matter where you go.
And you talked about facing players that, well, being in the same team with players that you faced before. So I'm guessing a lot of players from the Valley,
yeah,
like Cleveland, Taft, Chatsworth,
mm-hmm,
go to either Pierce, Valley, you know,
yeah,
score. So can you explain how you played against them for 4 years and now they're your teammates?
Well, I mean, it's more of a high school thing, you know. It's child fun, I guess you could say. Once you hit college, there's no more rival. between you two. There's just football. It's a career now. Like, you want to go somewhere. You don't want to just stay in your high school mentality. You want to leave. You want to go somewhere.
Mm. So people are more like, they have a clear path.
Yeah, they have a clear path of what they want to do with their lives now. They either know they're just playing football for the fun, or they want to make it a career. They want to go professional.
So what would you say some of the, well, you said one, but other differences between, you know, playing in high school and then playing in college?
Differences, well, obviously the coaching staff, the practice is way different, more intense in college. You know, high school coaches, yeah, they could be intense, some of them. But college level, it's more different. You know, high school, they're more lenient. They're more like, oh, okay, you have to do this, that's fine. But if you have to do something in high school, I mean college, you know, you could get I don't know how to say it, like
an opportunity to go somewhere else.
No, like I'm saying, if you were to get in trouble, mm-hmm. you can't do that. You know, they'll have you do physical activities, which aren't fun. You know, bear crawls, suicides, all these things to get you tired, mentally tired. You know, it just wears you down, and that's your lesson to learn.
A sort of punishment.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're talking about how different the coaching staff was. You said that twice already, I think. And can you explain that?
You know,
coaching. What are the differences? Sorry.
Differences is, like I said, like pretty much throughout this conversation, it's the intensity. You know, college coaches are some of them are lenient, you know, and then there's some that are really strict with their rules. And then high school, it's just more like, okay, we'll have him play still, but we're still mad at you, but we'll still have you play. You know, college doesn't do that. College, you miss, you don't play.
And talking about that, let's talk about injuries. I know you're redshirting this year.
Yeah.
Due to a back injury.
Back injury, yep.
So can you explain how, you know, injury takes such a big part in a football's life? How an injury can basically end your season, or it could maybe end your career?
Well, you know, it's not always the easiest thing when you have an injury. Like, for example, me, I've been injured since my sophomore year with my back, and it's not always easy. You know, in high school, it was pretty rough. Coaches, if you complained about it, you know, the coaches would call you names, or not really names, but like pretty much like picking on you, saying, you know, you're getting weak or something, you know, and that doesn't, you don't want to show that too much because you want to play. You don't want to be the punk, you could say, in your team. So you just want to ignore your injury. But once you notice in college that once you have that injury, you got to do something. You know, you can't just leave it alone because it's going to get worse. And that's what I did. I left it alone, and now I'm suffering.
You're saying that in high school, if you had an injury, you know, from what you were saying, I picked up that you were looked on. If you said you had an injury, kind of you were weak for, you know, basically having that injury and not being able to play, I'm guessing, that week or sitting out that game. But you're saying that in college it's different. You gotta, you have an injury, you gotta deal with
it. Yeah, you have to get healthy. You know, the coaches understand, you know, you got injured, they're gonna do everything in any way they could help you. They'll do anything for you. You know, my coach right now, he's actually helping me to heal. He's actually giving me opportunities with training, going to doctors.
And you talked about sophomore year, that's when you got injured. I also know sophomore year was a extremely hard year for you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, you know, leadership roles. Any leadership roles that you looked up to, someone you looked up to?
There was a specific player. His name was Alex Manu. He actually showed me how to play this sport my freshman year. I didn't know what I was doing. I only knew how to play linebacker, and I made the transition from backer to D-line. And my brother was also there. And, you know, my brother, being like hard-headed, he didn't want to teach me as much as he could have. And, you know, Alex Manu, he just was like, okay, I'm gonna just help this guy, you know. He didn't care. He didn't care what, like, if he had to help me or not. He just wanted to do it.
He took the time out of...
Yeah, he took his time out of his practice to help me. And, you know, I really respect that of him. And, you know, going into sophomore year, you know, there was obviously a fatal accident with him and three other passengers. And, you know, it's rough. It's rough on the players to know that you just lost two brothers. You know, you want to do your best that year to show them, you know, we got you. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just rough. You don't know what you're doing sometimes, and sometimes that leads to mistakes on the field. And sometimes it makes good plays.
So, you're talking about how, you know, you looked up to him. He was a role model.
Yeah.
So, it's sophomore year, and how did you react when you heard the news that, you know, Alex Manu and Isaiah Hastings sadly passed away in that fatal car accident?
Well, actually, the day before, there was a scrimmage. I forgot what team we were playing. And we get back home, and first of all, I was wearing his number that day. That day I was wearing his number, and I felt like, you know, he was with me. And, you know, we came back home with the victory. We were celebrating because there was a school party, you could say. And then the next day we had film. And I was late. I was late to film. And I get to the school and I see football players in the middle of the school crying. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on, you know. And nobody told me. The coaches didn't tell me, nobody. So I asked one player. He was like, "That do you know Alex Manu?" And I was like, "Yeah, he's my brother." And he said, "Well, him and Isaiah Hastings got into a car accident, and they didn't make it." And you know, I was very hysterical. I didn't know how to react to it. Neither did none of the other players, and. We just lost it that day. We didn't know what we were doing, and we just skipped film. We went to the hospital to visit Eldridge at the hospital, but I didn't get to see him. I just was outside his room, and none of us knew what to do. We went to his house to see his mom, and that was pretty much it. I didn't know how to spend the rest of my day.
It must have been extremely difficult, you know, to lose. Not just a player, but a brother, like you said.
Yeah.
And how did the team take it? That season must have been extremely hard, not just for you, but also for the team.
Yeah.
You know, you were a sophomore, but also on the team, you know, there was Sterling, whose brother was also in the accident. Yeah. There was Isaiah's little brother.
Yeah.
You know, there was Trayvon. There's a lot of family members, and, you know, those two players affected and influenced a lot of players for the team.
They did.
So, how did the team come together and play? Like, what was going through you guys' heads that season?
That season, you know, it was very confusing. We didn't know how to start off again. And practice was just normal practice. You know, they moved me back down to JV. So I was with the guys that didn't know much about the situation. But I was still practicing with varsity. And so I was still with the guys that knew what happened. And some of them were mad. Alex's cousins were very mad. They didn't, like me, they didn't know how to control it. They would get into fights sometimes during practice, and it's understandable, you know.
You get frustrated.
You get frustrated. Like, you just lose it pretty much, and it's just sad to see that happen. You know, you're fighting your brothers when you just lost one. You know, you never know what's going to happen the next day. You got to make the best out of your day today.
And like you said, there was a lot of fights in between players because, it's a lot going on through people's heads. So I want to say a special season, a season that you're not going to forget.
No, I'm not.
Lightly. And, let's take it to another subject, a lighter subject. So for practice for Valley, you're redshirting it, but what are you doing? Like, are you going to their practices?
Not really going to their practices, just because I'm not doing anything. I'm just standing there, and, my back is weak right now. If I just stand, my back is always cramping up on me. So they just tell me to take it easy, just, go home, rest, do what you got to do, go to the doctors, get some help, and that's what I'm doing.
And you said you got this injury back in high school.
Yeah.
So do you feel that it was mostly on you or the coaching staff?
I would say the both of us. I had a decision too, and I could have chosen, I'm going to sit it out, but I didn't. I wanted to play. And the coaches, they never want to see a player get weak on you, They never want to see a player get injured or hurt, as they call it. They call it hurt, because if you can still move, you're not injured. You're hurt. You're sore.
And last year, it was your senior season at Birmingham. You looked up to Alex. And did you take a leadership role in the team?
I felt like I did, but not as much as I could have. I was more self-employed, you could say. Like, I was by myself throughout everything. And I don't know, I still had players look up to me. They still do right now, but, I could do better.
And senior year, what happened in that El Camino game?
El Camino?
Especially after halftime.
Well, I'll start in the beginning. The beginning, we're doing good, doing what we do, playing, winning. Halftime, we were in the locker room. Everybody was getting hyped up, I was trying to calm everybody down, And everybody was still hyped, They lost it. Not really losing it. They were just excited about a win. And, they got overconfident. And that night was also our senior night. And I told players, relax. And, some of them did. Some of them did, but not. Most of the younger guys just fooled around too. Some of them, once they started to see that Elko was coming back, that's when they lost it, really. They didn't give it their all anymore.
So you're saying that at halftime, a lot of players were just, in their heads, they had it said that they were going to win.
Yeah.
Just because they had a lead.
Yeah.
Early in the game. And then coming back outside, El Camino starts to do a comeback. So you're saying that they changed.
They changed their mentality, most definitely. Some of the players didn't know how to react to it. Some of them were just frustrated that they were making the touchdowns. But, when you get overconfident, you start to think, we're winning, so we could take it light. But me as a senior, better. And you don't want to take it light. You never do. You always want to give it everything because, you could still lose.
And, a big loss like that, how did it affect the team? Because it was the first time that you guys lost league champs for 10 years in a row.
Yeah.
So how does that affect the team after that? How do you guys play the next week, that game?
Well, it affected me so much. I actually told the coach, because he seemed like he didn't really care about the win or the loss. So I told him, if you don't care, I don't care either. I'm gonna leave. And that was it was the same night that I told him. And then the next week he came to me and he told me, I'm just as disappointed, but we still gotta push through. It's just another loss, and we'll get better from it. And I told him, but when you show that there's nothing wrong with it, that's just something, there's nothing right with that.
So you felt that the players, or at least the head coach, wasn't as involved as he should have, or at least didn't care, or didn't show it?
Yeah, he didn't show much emotion to it. You know, I was there after the loss. I was there, you know, mad, real upset, and, you know, screaming on the top of my lungs, like, what did we just do? Like I told you guys. But, you know, there's only so much you could do.
You were frustrated as a player because, you know, you felt like the coaches weren't putting as much effort as they should have.
Yeah.
And other players being overconfident.
Yeah.
So I feel, from what you're saying, I feel like you were extremely frustrated.
Yeah.
And, you know, you lost to El Camino. You had one more game.
Mm-hmm.
You guys won that game.
Yeah.
So you guys ended the league 4-1. Not bad. You guys managed to go to playoffs. So moving on to playoffs, what did you guys do differently as a team?
You know, we knew that we had to keep our heads in the right place, you know, and then just go out to win. You know, seniors had that mentality. Most of the younger guys, you know, still on that iffy side. You know, some of them were doing good. Some of them were still, you know, being kids. You know, trying to have fun, but still messing around. You know, I felt like they didn't really care if we won or lost that game. But it was very important to the seniors.
I feel like a lot of, because I had a guest last week and he talked about that.
Uh-huh.
I think it has to do with, you know, once you're a senior, it's your last year there. You know, you're 17, 18 years old. You're starting to mature. But when you're, you know, a sophomore, junior, even a freshman,
yeah,
you know, you still got 2 years, 3 years ahead of you playing football. And, you know, you're younger, so you're not developed. So I'm pretty sure that's one of the reasons why it looks like that.
Yeah.
And you guys lost the first round of the playoffs. How was that? Like, explain to me after the loss in the locker room. How was that?
Well, after the loss, I was just more like, you know, this is it. You know, not really what am I going to do next, because I knew what I was going to do. But it was just more like, I'm not going to see these lights anymore. You know, I'm gonna miss this. But right after the loss, you know, I was very like, okay, we lost. But when the coaches start coming up to you, you know, you played a good of a game, that's when the emotions hit. You know, you don't expect that from most coaches. And when they talk good about you on certain cases, you know, your emotions go.
And, you know, it's the last time that you're seeing these players a lot. It's the last time you're going to be playing with a lot of these players.
Yeah.
Did that affect you, or did you acknowledge that at that moment or later on?
I think I acknowledged it more at that moment, but I also knew that I had some brothers that would never leave my side. Like at this moment, I have one player at another college, not the same as mine, but you know, I still make contact with him. I have another brother with me at Valley College. You know, still making contact. I have another here at Pierce. He doesn't play, but he plans on playing next year. You know, it's just you got to know who your brothers are.
And did you know, you said you knew what you were going to do after, so you knew for a fact that you were going to go
to college? I knew for a fact that I was going to go to college football. And that it wasn't a doubt in my mind.
Mm-hmm. So what's your ultimate goal? Or why did you decide to go to Valley, especially Valley?
I decided to go to Valley because I felt like I had more of an opportunity going there than any other college. You know, I believe that they could help me go to higher division college, you know, and I have that trust with them, and they have the same trust in me to perform.
And what's your ultimate goal? What are you trying to accomplish out of going to Valley and then after that?
My ultimate goal is going professional, obviously. You know, if I can't do that, then I'll find something else. But right now, that's my mindset.
So your first goal is at least to get out of, you know,
out of
the JUCO system.
Yeah.
And transfer to a 4-year.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for, you know, answering all the questions. You've been a great guest.
No problem.
This has been KBCRadio.com.